Class. Ladies and gentlemen, the microphones are on and the cameras are rolling. Good evening and welcome to tonight's special committee of the whole meeting and regularly scheduled city council meeting. The meeting is called to order for this special committee of the whole meeting. Let the record show that all the aldermen are present, and I have given all the aldermen a present. I have. Isn't that nice?
Really?
Every gifted.
I'm sure you did.
I did.
That's right. And a warm welcome to my daughter, Emma, who's watching on television tonight with her friend, John Treweiler. They are condo sitting, so if I need a place to stay tonight, Bob, I'll be calling you. Let's begin, shall we? Anything else, Mr. Marks?
I didn't make any comments.
Not going to share with the class as usual, Kev. I'm just saying.
Item 2A, presentation by Metro West Council of Governments. And we have a very special guest with us this evening.
And it's full of the blarney you are, Mayor. Which is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And please introduce yourself to not only those of us who haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, but the thousands and upon thousands who are watching from home and around the world.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
By the way, the TV camera's right there.
Hi.
And there's one behind you as well.
All right.
And this lady in the black in the second row is our private attorney, in case you say something that we...
I'm Mary Randall. I'm executive director of Metro West Council of Government. We're a nonprofit organization that represents municipalities in King, Kendall, and DeKalb counties. Our communities serve more than 750,000 residents in this area. We were formed in November of 2004 to serve as an advocate for municipalities. City of Geneva is a founding member of Metro West. Some of the things that we do include evaluating the impact of pending legislation on municipalities. We articulate municipal concerns and advocate those positions on local, county, regional, state, and national issues. We have a 911 task force. These are some of the things that affect our King County municipalities. A 911 task force, an animal control services task force that negotiated a contract with King County Animal Control. We were able to negotiate a favorable special service area fees collection method with the county, which was favorable to municipalities. Yeah. We've also been successful for 3 years in a row in obtaining a freeze on the automatic multiplier clause in road impact fees, which sounds, well, it is terribly boring, but important. we address planning for growth, transportation, and water conservation issues affecting our region. We work closely with other councils of government, CMAP, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, and the IML to address common issues such as public safety pension reform and the fight to protect the local government distributive share of income taxes. We provide educational opportunities for newly elected municipal officials and regular officials and staff to keep you up to date on legislation such as changes to commercial Freedom of Information Act requests and other municipal issues. We provide orientation seminars for newly electeds, and those orientation seminars are presented by your administrator, Mary McKittrick. One of the things that I'm proudest of is the formation of the Northwest Water Planning Alliance. This is something that's been in the works for several years. Metro West had started a water conservation task force and to address water conservation and water planning. Then we brought in other councils of government into that mix, and during this last year, we've been successful in bringing five counties and five councils of government into this water planning alliance. And we've also done seminars on financial strategies for municipalities that are dealing with a difficult economy, consolidation of services, and wind energy. We provide networking opportunities for mayors and managers to discuss their concerns and seek solutions to common problems. Mayor Burns is a very supportive member of Metro West. He's one of the people that I can count on when we have a critical issue that needs to be addressed and we have to meet with legislators or the press. He also represented us on the Mayor's Caucus Olympics Task Force. Mary McKittrick has served as our legislative chair, I believe, since the beginning of Metro West, and she also serves on the Strategic Plan Committee. Your finance director, Mr. Dahl, serves on our finance committee. Your water and wastewater superintendent, Bob Van Giesem, serves on the Water Conservation Task Force. Stephanie Dawkins attends a number of our events and study groups. And I don't know if he's still with you, Zach Creer, your intern. He has served as well on the legislative committee. Many of your aldermen have regularly attended many of our public events. I see some very familiar faces around me. One of the public events that's coming up at which aldermen and staff are welcome is the legislative barbecue and session review. That's this Thursday night, June 23rd, and I believe you've all been notified about that. We look forward to seeing many of you. And you're going to love me because that's my very short presentation. And unless you have questions, I'm complete.
Are there any questions for the executive director, Alderman Singer?
Thank you. How long have you been with the organization?
This is my fifth year.
Yes. You're such a bright face. I enjoy the way in which you present yourself at the meetings, and you're always so you just have a marvelous attitude, and I appreciate that. And you do great service for us.
Well, thank you.
I thank you for that.
I think that probably comes from my Irish grandfather. But
thank you, Mr.
we
Burns.
Very much, you know, you're always getting people coming and saying, you know, please join our organization or please support us financially or whatever. My purpose this evening is not asking you for something, but thanking you very much for your already, you know, your former and current support of Metro West, and also for the wonderful support that we get from your elected officials and staff. We very much appreciate it. Thank you.
It is difficult. Oh, Mr. Kilberg.
Yes, sir. Obviously, you provide a lot of services for the city of Geneva. What's the due structure, and what's Geneva currently paying to become to participate in Metro West?
It's a 35 cent. No, I'm sorry. Yes, 35 cents per capita, and then there's a certain minimum. And I would have to check, but it's 35 cents per capita for you. So. And we make sure that you get every penny's worth.
So that'd be approximately $7,000 or $8,000 a year.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We're known especially too for being responsive to the needs of our members. We're constantly getting emails and phone calls with saying we really need to address this issue or we need some help here, and so we're proud of being able to respond quickly and make sure that you have what you need.
It's not unusual, Mary, that when you send out information for mine or Mary's consumption or alerts, it's forwarded to the council as well, particularly during the recent LGDF debate. So, and I know, you know, certainly Alderman Kilberg and others were instrumental in communicating with the legislature about the short-sightedness of their proposal. So,
and due to your support and that of your council and staff, we were successful.
Yes.
In that fight, although we're always a little nervous about that because we know that there's always tomorrow. But
or Wednesday in this case.
Yes, yes. But this, it was really critical this year. And your mayor wrote a letter to some of the legislators on that issue that was so effective that we shared it with all of the other COGs. And we thank you for your support in that. And because of that, we're able to keep the local government distributed fund whole at least today.
And it's worth noting that because Mary works with the state legislature on a regular basis, she's also one of the largest recipients of our mental health funding. So, no?
There's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep it up. Item B, as in boy, recommend draft ordinance allowing a special use in the L1 Light Industrial District to allow a restaurant at 321 Stevens Street. The restaurant is none other than Chef James' Place.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Piper makes the second. Questions or comments for the Economic Development Director and or Mr. Evans? Where's David? Oh, DeGroote, how are you, big guy? Any questions for DeGroote? Pretty self-explanatory, Mr. Hill and Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If anybody has been fortunate enough to enjoy the sandwiches that Chef James made in his restaurant down on 3rd Street, this Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich, as I've told many of my friends, is the best I've tasted this side of the Schuylkill River. And that's right in Philadelphia. I recommend that we strongly that we approve this this restaurant. It's in a great neighborhood for it, light industrial, cemetery nearby that I'm somewhat familiar with.
You're going to be back there in an hour. Let's wrap this up. I
wasn't sure how to
take
that. And I think it's just a good idea and a real opportunity for the community that needs a restaurant of this type in that particular neighborhood. Thank you, Mr.
Alderman Hill, or excuse me, Brown.
Thank you. I am in favor of this proposal, but I do have a question as to why we're having two hearings on this and passing it in a single night. I would like to make a little statement that I've looked back through the last meetings this spring, and it seems more and more we're getting items that are getting both a COW hearing and a City of Council final vote on the same night, and I think this is actually a very bad trend. I think the reason why most elected bodies separate their committee considerations from their final council approvals by a few days is obvious, that give people a chance to think about it a second time, to think about the questions they've heard from their fellow aldermen, their questions and responses from the staff. It gives the news a chance to pick up on an item, and maybe they think of some reason why the public might want to become more informed. So in all cases, it would seem to me the default is to allow two hearings on a subject and not cram them into the same night. I see five items on the agenda tonight, all of which are being asked to be approved on the same night that they're first brought to the council. I think this is a bad trend, and the obvious question is there any reason why this has to be pushed through in a single night?
In this particular case...
Well, Mr. DeGroote, let me answer that question for Alderman Brown. This is not David DeGroote's decision. It's mine. We've had public hearings at the Plan Commission for not only this item but others, and we feel it's in the best interest of the businesses and the services that want to provide their business expertise and service to the community that we should provide equal amount of efficiency. And if we can handle these matters in a more efficient way without having to wait a week or two or so, I think it's in the best interest of the community to do so. So,
I would agree that on certain items, it certainly makes sense to push them through. But I would
say
the correct...
They're not being pushed through because this was, again, a public hearing before the Plan Commission. And whether the media chooses to cover this matter is up to them. But I can assure you that those Plan Commission members who spoke eloquently and at great length regarding both these proposals will hear tonight. I think we all had a chance to review the minutes. Those who have an interest have had a chance to review commentary from either citizens and or the business owners themselves. And, of course, we've had Chef James before us in the recent past. So I think we're pretty well up to speed with respect to the issues and how the staff have handled those issues to bring this forward in a, dare I say, properly packaged way.
I believe the Plan Commission hearing on this was on the 6th, was it not?
It's June 9th,
yes, that's quite a while ago. I still think the correct solution to the problem is to maybe rethink the when the various meetings are held and the timing of these issues, and it is not to try to have more and more items which are given two votes on the same night. I think that's the wrong way to go. It's clearly submarining the whole purpose of having both a committee meeting and a council final vote on issues. And I'm just, as I say, I noticed that all items on the agenda tonight, or practically all the items, are in the same boat of being asked to be voted on twice in the same night, which, and I would hope that this trend, which seems to be increasing this spring, does not continue, and that in the future we would try to see if we can have two independent hearings on things. Thank you. I will vote for this motion.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Dantino.
I'd like to turn my microphone on first. I'd like to agree with Alderman Brown that we have had a lot of these on two nights, and I just wish we could have some separation between them. I will also support the motion, but I think 1 week isn't that long. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a second. Anyone from the audience? Anyone from Philadelphia? David, how was your first Father's Day?
Very good. Very good.
This will not impact our vote. We were just curious.
Right, yeah, it's great. Just barbecues and hanging out.
Barbecues and diapers.
Mr. Clerk, would you care to take a roll call vote?
It's a county.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Worthy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, David. We move on to item 2C, which is also Mr. DeGroote's bailiwick. That is to recommend draft resolution approving the site plan for the Living Well Cancer Resource Center at the southwest corner of Williamsburg Avenue and West State Street.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Marks. I believe the second was by Vogelsberg. This matter was considered by the Plan Commission and voted upon unanimously. It's my understanding that Mr. DeGroote has not had any questions asked of him prior to this evening. So unless there's any questions this evening regarding the materials that have been presented in our packet, the Executive Director of the Living Well Cancer Resource Center is with us tonight, the August. We just call her Nancy. Right? Nancy Vance, former alderman of the City of Batavia. She saw the light, got out, and went to that. Now, Nancy and I worked together. How many years ago was that?
Oh, here we go.
6 or 7.
No, it was not. We worked together 20 years ago? Yeah. No, we both worked for Jerry Lewis and MDA in the telethon. And Nancy and I were telethon co-hosts out of the New York office.
Huh?
Just kidding. Nancy, nobody believes a word we say anymore. It's unbelievable.
Questions
or comments for Mr. DeGroote? Alderman Brown.
I hate to bring up the same subject.
And then Flanagan.
This is an example of where one of my neighbors, who is also a neighbor of this site, asked, what's going on? And I explained to them what was going on, and that indeed it was discussed at the Plan Committee, and they said, well, we've heard nothing about it. So this is an issue that is going to affect neighborhood residents. There are a number of houses to which this property is visible from their house, et cetera, and I did try to explain, but this is, again, an issue where I don't think it should be taken care of in a single night. And I would ask again, is there a particular reason why this has to be approved on the same night it is first brought to the public's attention at the city council level? Because certainly these neighbors didn't know about it at the Plan Commission level.
It is incumbent upon neighbors to know what's happening in their backyard and or their neighborhood, and I mean that with all due respect. The reason why this is being advanced this evening in two separate considerations is because it's in the best interest of Living Well. It is in their best interest as an organization, financially speaking, service rendered. It's important that we move this through. The staff have worked well over, close to a year, I believe it is, on engineering issues, design issues, what have you. We have been working to and fro to make certain that the plan is appropriately presented. The Plan Commission spoke at length regarding this matter, again, approved it unanimously. So we feel it's best to move it forward so that those who the Living Well can serve can begin serving them quicker, faster, more efficiently in a more appropriate facility. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can understand why Alderman Brown feels the way, you know, he feels that if matters have I think matters should be on separate meetings, but I don't have a problem with this one, and I don't have a problem with any of the items that are on today's agenda. I just understand where Alderman Brown is coming from, so I think we should take that into consideration somewhere along the line. I just wanted to say that Living Well has got a very, I think, an excellent facility. I like the way it's one level, and I know that Alderman Singer spoke to the neighbors, and they seem to be all in favor of this, so I'm looking forward to you being in the fourth ward.
Alderman Singer.
Yes, I'm just somewhat going to parrot that which Alderman Flanagan mentioned, in the sense that I've had the opportunity to speak to the neighbors that are going to be affected by this property, and they seem very favorable towards it, and feel that it's a very important project that is coming forward in our community, and so we'll end it at that.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else on the dais? Questions or comments from Mr. DeGroot and or Mrs. Vance? Alderman Kilburg?
Benefit of our audience, maybe Mrs. Vance might provide us with a brief overview of their plans or timeline. You'd be prepared to do that?
Happy to. Good evening. I'm also bringing with our architect from Kluber and Associates. This is Mike Elliott. We've been working on this project for about 2 years, trying to find an adequate space for us, and we looked at some existing spaces as well as land opportunities. Living Well has been in existence since September 2005. We've served 9,500 people in our short tenure here. We've outpaced our projections, our five-year projections. We outpaced those in the first 2.5. We serve about 170 people a week, providing 50 programs and services, all free of charge, to cancer patients and their families. We do not have enough space in our current facility that we rent from Shodin to provide the programs and services that are being demanded of us. So I very much appreciate that this, although it may not be as convenient as it could have been, we really need to get digging and get this project up and running and move as soon as we can. We have a couple of wait lists on programs that we don't like to have wait lists on. Some are for children's programs, some are for nutrition counseling, and we're just really happy to be in the Geneva community, to stay in the Geneva community, and we appreciate your support on our project. Anything?
As you probably noticed from the submittals, the building is very residential in feel. That was on purpose because the clientele that come to Living Well, they spend so much time in institutions, we wanted to create this other feeling for the building. So it's very residential in scale, residential in materials, and that was the idea from the get-go. I think Nancy gave me the goal to where it wants to feel like home when someone enters the building. So we felt fortunate that we were able to get the building together. I want to comment that the staff of City of Geneva has been very accommodating. We've worked with them, as the mayor had mentioned, for quite a few months as far as to work with the development team to make sure the building worked. The building and the use did work with the existing PUD, so I don't think we really pushed any boundaries on the uses of the property, and I think it'll be a nice addition to that side of town on the get-go. So,
your timeline, I'd assume, if approved this evening, you'd proceed then with construction this summer with a completion date?
We're looking at probably a completion date, probably early spring, early late spring, depending if the rains ever stop.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Brown.
One last question. I guess this is a question to you, Mr. Chairman, or to the city attorney. Will this property be on or off the tax rolls?
Well, in terms of...
No, it'll be on.
Yeah, it's
We are a tax-exempt organization.
501c3.
Right.
Correct.
We are a 501c3.
This motion tonight will take this property off the tax rolls. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, technically speaking, that's not a determination by the city of Geneva. It's by the tax assessor, but
right.
Yeah, Living Well is a standalone 501c3 organization. Anyone else? And Nancy, state where we are. Mr. Clerk, if there's no other questions from the audience and or the dais, we'll take a roll call vote.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Oftentimes when people come before us, it's nice to certainly compliment them, which of course we are so ease at doing with Nancy, but your daughter, Nancy, is a very special young lady, and she is studying to be an attorney.
She's taking the bar next month.
Taking the bar. But who did she internship for?
She interned for
not here, not locally, not
Hastert. She started with Congressman Hastert when he was Speaker of the House, and then she interned for President Bush in his executive office.
And did she not spend time with Condoleezza?
She did. She turned down a full-time position with the president, and I said, you're never going to get another job in D.C. as long as you live. That was really stupid. And the next week, they called her. She had always admired Condoleezza Rice, and they said, well, if you don't want to work in the office of the president, what would you like to do? And she said, I'd love to work for Condoleezza, and they flew her back out there, and she worked for Secretary Rice for a year and a half.
Isn't that amazing? Pretty
yeah.
Cool stuff.
So she's, yeah, wants to get back there at some point.
I'm sure she does.
So
but she's just a wonderful young lady. So
thank you.
She deserves
and an Augie grad.
And an Augustana grad.
What's wrong with that? What's not to love?
It's a good job. And Paul Evans is an Augie grad. Dick Unch.
Congressional investigation.
She needs a big job to pay back the loans, for God's sake.
Well, she actually had a free ride. She was going to go to Northwestern. And
she had a free ride at Augie?
She had a free, not she had presidential scholarships at Augie, but at North at NIU for law and her MBA. She did a double major.
Just so happy for you.
Yeah, I still have one to go, so.
Yeah, well, you didn't have a free ride?
Well, I did at the Kane County Boys Home, but I chose to understand.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very, very much for the vote. We really appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Item 2E, recommend draft resolution authorizing the execution of First Amendment to...
No, D.
Correction.
D.
Recommend draft ordinance approving text amendment in B3 Business District to allow business and professional offices as a special use for below-ground floor only fronting 3rd Street between Campbell and South.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion. Vogelsberg makes the second. Questions or comments? Seeing none, anyone from the audience? All in favor of this motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Item 2E is recommend draft resolution authorizing execution of First Amendment to Commuter Parking Improvement Grant Agreement with Metra for, very exciting, 3rd level of the commuter parking facility.
I'll move approval of that one again.
Second.
The enthusiasm is overwhelming, gentlemen. Motion by Hill, seconded by Piper.
Political move.
Questions or comments regarding this matter? And this is a matter that does require immediate action because of some considerations by our funders. Hence, this matter is being considered by the Special Committee of the Whole and, of course, the City Council tonight. All in favor of 2E, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Item 2F is to recommend draft resolution authorizing professional service agreement with Walker Parking Consultants for design and construction for the 3rd level of the commuter parking facility.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion. Vogelsberg makes the second. Mr. Dingus is with us this evening, but you'll all recall that Walker Parking Consultants worked with us with respect to the parking structure that's currently in place. They are obviously best represented to assist us moving forward. So if there's any questions for Dan in that regard, he's happy to deflect those. Mr. Brown?
The Commuter Parking Fund has the funds to cover this approval tonight. Is that correct?
The agreement that was just approved will fund all engineering and construction. We're hoping that the bid's coming below budget and we can build everything. Right now we anticipate that it should be able to. So,
was that funded as part of this year's budget?
We had 3.5 million in the budget. It was actually under our capital improvements program.
And that includes this design engineering?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, Mr. Marks.
Mr. Dinges, do you remember? I mean, I remember at the time when we were looking at building the parking garage, they had looked at the cost for the third. Do you remember what that was? I mean, is...
We actually bid it.
Yeah, we did.
If you remember, we had funds still available when we had the original, and we tried to bid it out. And I want to say it was right around 3.2.
Okay, so it should come in. All right, the 3.5 should come.
Yeah, it's a little bit, at that time it was going to be just pretty much add on to, they hadn't built the deck
right,
yet.
Right, it wasn't built.
Now we're having to take off panels and put them back on. But right now, from what Walker is saying, there's not a lot of work out there. Contractors are hungry, so we're hoping to get really good prices. So.
Good, good.
That's the quicker we can get it out the bid, the better. So that's what we're going for.
Mr. Mayor, could I add something?
Alderman, you want to highlight that? Alderman Dantino?
Quick question, Dan. How long will the construction take when we do that? And how that will have to shut the deck down totally?
Yes, the deck will have to be shut down because they'll have to support it from the ground up.
Understood.
So what we're looking at doing there is park and ride. Likely working with Pace, but we anticipate construction to be somewhere around 6 months, 6 to 9 months. A lot of it will depend if we can, the quicker we can get it out in winter, it'll be critical to try to get as much as we can done before winter because it's up in the air. So if it's a cold winter, it's more difficult to pour concrete in that.
Thank you.
Mrs. McKittrick, you wanted to amplify something? Or?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to let the council know that we've been working with Metro on this for a couple of years now, but we had requested that the construction payouts go directly to Metro so that we would not have to front the funding for this, even though we have it budgeted as an expenditure in our current budget. What we did work out with them that as the payouts come in incrementally, we will review them, we will sign off on them, we will send them to Metra, they will issue us a check. So we will not have to front that money because we will have Metra's funding incrementally as we go along. And when we issue the check, we will have received that from Metra first. So just wanted to let you know that.
Alderman Flanagan.
Just a quick question, Mary. So they don't have any financial problems like the state of Illinois does?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. This was actually in their budget last year as well, but it wasn't funded. They had budgeted, but they did not
they
actually
the
get the funding, but this year they did.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Dan, I think my memory serves me correctly. When the project was originally brought forward, that there was a means whereby a third deck could be placed on that product. It's accommodated for that at this point in time.
Right. We won't have to. The columns and that were designed to support a third level.
Yeah.
So we're basically just adding that third level now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
It's like a Lego structure, pretty much.
Sure.
I'm so glad you're in charge.
He's still planning on it.
Why are we voting on an engineering contract?
It's just illegal.
We don't need that. Let's let you do it. Like Lego.
A lot of Legos, $2 million.
That's a heck of a lot of Legos. I know. So that's the new model. Anyone else? Comments from the audience that are germane and perhaps flattering of me?
No? Silence.
From the day?
Yes.
All in favor of this item? Has been offered for motion and seconded. Please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. According to my chart, we're at new business for the committee meeting. I have a couple points, or at least one.
That's a toughie.
And this is going to, this is important. This is perhaps the reason why we serve. We have a situation that has erupted earlier today. One of our restaurateurs in town, one of our very popular and successful restaurateurs, regrettably failed to meet the deadline requesting a temporary liquor license for Swedish Days. Therefore, I have called a special council meeting for Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We need six people in order to consider this matter. I want to give you the heads up. You can respond to either Jean, myself, or Mary, but this meeting has been posted outside. It has been posted and sent to the press, so at 7 p.m. in this very chamber, there will be a meeting held to consider one item and one item only, and that is a temporary liquor license for a business establishment in here in town. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Craig Priest, where are we going to park? Let's head at St. Charles.
We can park on the third tier of the deck.
Thank you.
With your Lego car.
Virtual deck.
Thanks, we could.
You could probably park in the lot that we're the place we're considering, for God's sake. I'm sure they'd be happy to accommodate you. So, just a heads up. So, new business, anyone in the audience? Sharon, welcome. Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones. No?
I am here tonight, Sharon Jones, to personally invite each and every one of you, the aldermen, the staff, the community at large, to a series of programs at the River Park again this summer, sponsored by our own Geneva Cultural Arts Commission. And I have a poster here that I put down in your entrance down there so you'll be able to see it. But we have four concerts again like last year on every Sunday night in July, with the exception of the 4th of July weekend. And again, they represent a large variety. We do have the Prairie Brass Band, the 30-piece brass band, coming back as last year. They come from Arlington Heights, Wisconsin, so it brings people into town to have dinner and see the town and gather. This one is really neat. This one I'm going to emphasize tonight because it's a drum circle. So all of you aldermen can come on the 17th, Sunday night. We're starting a half an hour earlier this year at 6:30, so it's a Sunday night, and families are out and around early. So it's coming, the Vandercook College of Music, which is a special college in the city on the IIT campus that specializes in music education. So a lot of our faculty here in our own Geneva system have gone there for their graduate degrees, et cetera. But they're coming out with all the instruments and everything, big truckloads, and Mike Becker is in charge of it, and he's going to get us drumming together. So politically, I think this is a key evening for all of us. And a Vandercook drum circle. And then the other two, of course, were very popular last year, Mary Jean Bankman, and the actors are returning for live radio theater. And so there'll be four plays, two short ones for children and two adult ones. That's the 24th. And the last one, all of you, I met Jim Green, the Wandering Endorphin, many years ago, playing on our Kane County Courthouse for Swedish Days, and have followed him over the years. And one of the themes, other than bringing people to the community from outside with some of the programs down there, is to tie in. The river is what connects us with the rest of the world. And so I especially was pleased that Jim could play for us because he's just spent this past year in the Middle East, in Jordan and Israel, and then prior to that, 6 months in New Zealand. So he'll be bringing his experiences, his music, with us from those faraway lands. So please come, bring your families. It's free, as you know. I just had this in my purse, and I forgot to mention this. This is a program that Emmy Rogers and I finally got printed up, and Paul Evans and his staff, thank you, reproduced for us. But this is something I'll put in. They're downstairs, in right in the entrance there by Sherry Weidel, where she located there. And there are flyers about our river park. And they're specifically about the history wall, which you don't get to see unless you kind of know what you're looking at. So it's really fun to have a description of the 400-million-year-old big cephalopod fossils that are there in the history wall because they're so visible. And I'm going to try and be down there and celebrate the summer solstice tomorrow at 5:30, if anybody wants, on the boulder down there, that artwork by Jim Jenkins, the turtle boulder. and we can watch the sun come up on the north point, the north edge of the river park, of course, being summer solstice tomorrow. And so if anybody would like to join me early. No? Okay, any questions?
Any questions for Mrs. Jones? Notice how when she said fossil, she looked at that side of the room.
Thank you, Sharon. Reflection.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
Anyone else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn, and we have a special city council, or excuse me, the regularly scheduled city council meeting immediately following.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
D'Antino makes the motion. Marks makes the second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Microphones are off.
I told him if he really needed me. That was fine.
Okay, folks, without objection, we will convene the regularly scheduled city council meeting. Mr. Clerk, I kindly ask you to take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph D'Antino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
He's
here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Greg Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
I'd like to ask we. This.
Sam Hill.
Here.
We begin the city council meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, as always. I would kindly ask Mr. Wehrmeister and Mrs. Zinke to please lead us in the pledge.
If you could leave, step outside.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you both. How convenient. We jump down to item 3A, recommend approval of mayor's appointments to the Historic Preservation Commission. The two fine folks who led us in the Pledge of Allegiance are our nominees this evening. They are none other than Mr. Kurt Wehrmeister, the voice of Geneva football since the early 1800s. Former member of the Plan Commission, all-around good guy, extraordinary business career, great writer, used to work for the Geneva Republican. Riveting. And, of course, one of the most popular and well-liked science teachers in all of elementary school throughout Geneva, Mrs. Zinke, who taught many of our children, I believe. Last year, you retired when, Mrs. Zinke?
2008.
2008. From Coltrap, correct? Indeed. My daughters had Mrs. Zinke. They both received C minuses.
That is not true.
That is not true? Okay.
Not true.
We had to memorize the periodic table in second grade. Chuck, could you imagine? Chuck did it in first grade. That's why he's so. Questions or comments regarding the nomination? Alderman Flanagan.
I don't have a comment about. I think it's a great nomination. Both of them will do a superb job, I'm sure of it, hands down. I just wanted to plug Geneva Beautification because I know Carolyn Zinke was very instrumental in getting the East Side Gardeners.
Yes.
And you'll see that garden on East Side Drive and State Street. And they've recently taken over the Gillingham Park, which is on Route 25 and State, her group. So I just wanted to give her a big kudos because she's now getting more involved in the community than just being a teacher and
everything else.
Right, and everything else, right.
Now, it should be noted, she used to ride her bike to Coltrap. Remember that? Frightening. But it was incredible. It was,
how about coming back uphill?
Coming back up the hill, she actually called the cops. Or a lift up there, but it was good. Push the bike. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say as well, two excellent choices. Thank you. Thank you both.
I'll entertain a motion to so approve this nomination.
So moved.
Motion by Marks, seconded by Dantino. A roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Motion is unanimous. Mr. Wehrmeister, would you like to say anything before you are?
I appreciate very much your confidence.
Confidence is understood, so. Thank you very much. Mrs. Zinke, anything else? You brought along Mr. Zinke, and he's reading a paper, for God's sake. Mr. Zinke, you're on TV. Focus. You want, come up to the podium, Mrs. Zinke.
No, okay. I'll just stay right here. I just wanted to say I'm looking forward
Jeez,
to
it. I'm still frightened by her because she was a teacher. So like, go ahead. Forgive me.
I just wanted to say I am looking forward to serving.
Thank you very Thank much you. For doing so. Congratulations to you both. Thank you very much in advance. Item 3B, featured department presentation this evening is none other than Ellen DeVita and the Economic Development Department. And folks, for the first time in the history of the city of Geneva, Zach the intern is kind of wearing a suit.
Whoa.
Zach, dude, man. You're looking good.
Oh, thanks.
I mean that. You look good, man. Haircut.
Just have Mrs. Zinke.
Yeah, when do you leave town, man?
I leave Thursday.
Thursday, this gentleman, Zach, is heading to Tanzania. We're actually thinking of opening an economic development office in Tanzania. And you're heading there for what purpose, Zach?
I'm going through my graduate school program. We're going to build a girls' dormitory. Partially, it's partially mission-based project, and then partially we're meeting with local not-for-profits and NGOs and learning about their organizations and what kind of efforts they're doing to combat poverty.
That's so cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss you terribly. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Ellen, all yours.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Ellen DeVita, and with us tonight is Paul Evans, our business development specialist. And Zach has been on loan to our department from the city administrator's office for a couple weeks helping write this report. So I'm going to pick up in a way where we've left off from the last 2 years of our presentations. And the first year I defined what economic development meant to me and where I intended to take the department. And then last year we talked about the role of an economic development professional. And I talked a little bit about the fact that human capital was more important in many ways than the physical capital. What we're going to get into tonight is a new concept, and I'm going to talk about network capital, which is actually a relatively new term that I've been learning about in the last few weeks. I had the pleasure to represent the city and go to a technology-led development course from the International Economic Development Council. and we're going to be applying some of those concepts here. But what we're still in the middle of is the situational analysis for economic development as we get ready to put a new economic development commission in place. As you know, the commission was created in December. We're still identifying the last member. We need someone from the medical community. I did speak with Tom Wright today from the hospital, the CEO of the hospital, and hope to have a candidate from the medical community by the end of the week. We've done all our data collection for our marketing materials. We've got our databases built, and we're still working on the last legs of the situational analysis. And as you know, we collect information and feedback from the business community in a lot of places. We meet monthly with the merchants downtown. We hold our annual industrial lunch. We periodically meet with the downtown property owners. We did the business retention survey. We've gotten a lot of input in the downtown master plan and the southeast master plan. And Zach has done some research now on a profile of the local employers. We're going to talk about location quotient, which is what are our relative strengths here. You had a packet, your packet had a report in it, and Zach will talk about it. He collected all the numbers. Can I start?
Okay, for my report, I looked at, sorry about that. It's my first presentation ever, so I'm a little nervous.
And according to your travel schedule, you're last, so this is a good one.
The location quotient, to do this, I took a bunch of data from the state and did an analysis based on the percentage of people employed in each industry. To do this, I came up with some new data. Next slide. Okay. The same PowerPoint. Okay, this analysis, to do this, that's better. Okay, so location quotient is a measure of concentration of each of our industries within our community. There's many positives to this high concentration, and that's why we look for it. Within this high concentration, it allows businesses to share resources, their labor supply, their local suppliers, so that they get better deals and that they have the right employees. It also lets us focus community training for these types of employees that these businesses want. The analysis I did revealed that these are Geneva's strongest sectors. As you can see, the LQ does not necessarily correspond to the percentage of actual employment because we have a high LQ in transportation manufacturing, but only 2.7% of Genevans' jobs are in this sector. However, nationally, it's a pretty small sector, so our LQ is very high. So we have seven times the percentage of employees that work in transportation manufacturing. Using this data, I found another database in which they projected the future growth of each of these industries. It's done by the National Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they predict that manufacturing is expected to decrease, healthcare is expected to grow greatly because of our aging population, and that retail and tourism are going to grow at a slow but steady pace. All of these sectors are strengths of Geneva. Manufacturing more in transportation and food and metal manufacturing, which was on the last slide. There is one cravat to this data, though. It is from 2008, which was at the beginning of the recession, so it's not 100% accurate, and there's always problems with projections and projecting 10 years into the future. Because of this, how hard it is to predict, there's always growing and new technologies coming out. An example I have is the switch from beta to VHS to DVD to Blu-ray. You never really know what technology is going to catch on, where it's going to go. So it's important for Geneva to really look at nurturing growing industries and also concentrating on those that we have a high concentration level of. you don't want to put all your money on one horse, so to speak. You want to spread it out, work through, and help startup companies. The big thing that's going on currently is the Fox Valley Entrepreneurship Center, which is a brand new grant program where it's taking 18 months and taking 10 different companies and seeing if they can meet certain growth quotients. And based on that, they're going to try to grow 10 new startup businesses in the local area. This is kind of paralleling this shift in thinking. The old thinking is that it's all about infrastructure, it's all about having the right buildings, and all about growing the number of jobs. But the new thinking is that it's all about creating networks. It's all about fostering entrepreneurship, providing them the information to create businesses rather than the actual physical resources, because the physical resources will come. But it's important that businesses know how to run businesses, and it's important for us to kind of fill that role a little bit and get them knowledgeable about how to actually do their businesses, because they come in with a good idea, but a lot of times they don't have the resources or the knowledge to perform HR functions and things of that sort that are essential for a successful business. That's kind of going into Ellen's section.
I think I'll finish up with the presentation, and then if you have questions on the written report, Zach can answer them after I'm done with yes, this part. Okay. So there's an old paradigm, and the old paradigm is economic development is square footage, it's jobs. And what's happening in the country now is this recognition that information and intellectual property is becoming more important. We can no longer compete in manufacturing based on just price, because, as you know, it's all being produced out of this country cheaper. But when you can add in advanced manufacturing, which is bringing technology to the process, you're able to compete, and we're able to export. And that's why the president has recently put in this call for Startup America, where he wants to double the exports that are out there. And Illinois was the first state to sign onto a program called Innovate America, where we're partnering with the president. And so there was this whole push rising up for increasing our technology transfer, increasing our exports, and then therefore increasing our advanced manufacturing. Many of you might be familiar with the extension model, the land-grant universities, University of Illinois, of course, I'm a graduate, but the land-grant universities, not Augustana, the land-grant universities existed to transfer agricultural technology out to the community. And the same model is now being put in place for innovation and technology and manufacturing. And there's like five major programs across the country that are really standing out right now. You're going to start nodding your head. MIT, University of Maryland, Stanford, Florida, and Purdue. Actually, there are four technology centers in Indiana under the umbrella of Purdue, which are really setting the stage for the rest of the world. And the new thinking is global competition. What can we invent? How can we encourage technology? So the class I went to was technology-led development, and I thought this quote was really neat because it kind of captures it all. The research is the transformation of money into knowledge, and the universities are now starting to see their role as research to create jobs in the community, not just to educate students. And so, for example, University of Maryland has a program where the professor makes his discovery, he discloses it to the university, and then they vet it out and decide if they think it's going to be a real idea, and then they patent it, and they take a one-year patent on it, and then they put him in an incubator, the entrepreneur, to see if they can bring this product to market. And that's where Zach was starting to talk about the knowledge, because someone who knows how to research might not know how to really create a company. And so you're seeing entrepreneurship centers rise up, and it's helping these folks with the knowledge they need to grow their company. All right, so technology-led development is trying to build on our strengths to bring in the advanced manufacturing and nurturing our companies and creating these networks, intra-business networks. There are several places locally that we can look, and Fermilab obviously brings a lot of scientists to our community. Some of the folks that have been there are involved with a local group called CBEID, the Center for Business Entrepreneurship and Innovation. It's a group I've been involved with. Ernie Mahaffey started it, and they are part of the impetus behind this new Fox Valley Entrepreneur Center. The Fox Valley Entrepreneur Center was officially announced just last Thursday. Harriet Parker at Waubonsie Community College wrote a grant, and they received a grant for 18 months. And the goal is to have a competition, identify 10 ideas, and choose 10, and then try and grow them. And if it works, they will try to make this a real bricks-and-mortar facility. So it's really new. But technology-led economic development is just, it's an approach to creating that climate for the entrepreneurs to grow their intellectual property and see if we can really transfer it into something. This was an interesting case history in the class. If you don't have a university in your backyard, what do you do? And I mentioned network capital. So they talked about an area in Appalachia, Ohio, where picture a diagram. Here's four tomato growers at this corner of the county that know each other. And over here we got six folks that know each other, and they have coffee and they network and they talk about their tomatoes. And you have five over here and six over here, and you had all these little fractured networks. They felt the tomatoes was the strongest cluster they had in their county. That's how rural they were. And they put in place a community kitchen. And all of a sudden, everyone was starting to connect to the community kitchen. And by the time they were done, they had mapped this all. They had this very, very strong network where everybody was connecting. They also then saw a restaurant association spur up, and you had another hub, which became the center of a network. And then you had a local foods network. And so they've now studied, and they're saying they have 20-plus boutique salsa businesses. They've got $700 million annual sales. But they've got annual sales that are measurable. They've got over 200 existing and emerging entrepreneurs, and they're producing preserves and salsas and just all sorts of foods that are going out from this area. So here's an area that was able to just take these networks and grow what they had. Tomatoes are about as basic as you can get. So what I'm saying is these processes that can be applied at any level. And it's just something for us to think about as we move forward. The traditional strategies that the department and the city have worked on are still very valid. We've got tourism development. We've got retail, supporting our retailers and helping them grow. We're trying to strengthen our non-residential tax base. We're trying to extend utilities so that we can develop new industrial properties here in town. We want to build on the health sector. Obviously, with such a high percentage of our jobs in the health sector, it's important to keep it healthy. There's other ways to grow. We can annex. But what this class said is that technology-led development is the new way to go, and continuing to build networks such as maybe a community commercial kitchen to help nurture the local food movement that we have so many of our residents interested in might be a good strategy for our Economic Development Commission to look into. So just some things to think about. I don't know if you have questions for Zachariah.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Zach. Questions or comments for either of these two professionals?
Interesting. It's a lot of numbers, yeah. But it is interesting.
And you share this information with, of course, those you support, whether it be the retail industry, the light industrial, et cetera. So.
Well, and there's a lot of policy implications that can come out of it.
Huge.
One of the things that was made in the class, one of the comments made was the tourism sector is one of the ones that's expected to grow, especially as people age out and they want to travel. Healthcare will grow. Both of those are low-paying industries. And with the retail, which side of the coin are you looking at? Because there's very few jobs. Many of the small mom and pops are owner-operator, but yet we need the sales tax. It's a high proportion of our budget. So there is still that argument to support the retail industry. So the other thing that was interesting, and we looked at this several times in Zach's report. You want to talk about the import of workers?
Oh, yeah. Through a website for IDES, I was able to come up with the IDES, Illinois Department of Employment Statistics, I think, or Employment Securities. And it shows basically where our workers are working, where we're exporting workers. And we export only 15% of people in Geneva actually work in Geneva, and only 20% of people who live within the Tri-Cities actually work within the Tri-Cities. So you have a massive export of workers outside of the Tri-Cities. And we, through this, we kind of thought about how we're mainly importing low earning workers and exporting all our higher wage employees, and what kind of implications that might have on our community, because you want to have higher wage employees staying within your community so they can shop, so they go out to lunch in your community, so they do that. So looking in the future, we probably want to look into attracting businesses that employ people, the kind of workers Geneva has, rather than importing workers. It also might have implications on public transit. We might have to look into finding ways to get lower wage workers to our factories and to our industrial areas, because those are the kind of workers they want to have work in their factories.
Thank you, Zach. Any comments or questions for Zach or Ellen? Zach, on the off chance the council does not see you before you ship out to Tanzania, we obviously wish you the very best. I'll see you before you go, of course, because you still owe me money.
Thanks, Mayor.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Looking forward to
good
it.
Luck.
Thanks.
Thank you both very much.
Given the penny, the only penny you had to loan you.
I heard that, Hill. Item 4 is the omnibus correction. Item 4 is amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine by this council and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Piper. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Gene Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
We skip down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. Mr. Clerk, kindly read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $1,968,323.91.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve and pay the bills as read. The
second.
Individual bills are displayed on the city website.
Second.
Motion to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city's website offered by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Hill. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Item 11A, and just for clarification, item 11A through E, although it would be natural to include these on the omnibus agenda because they were approved unanimously, construction of the City Council agenda precluded us from doing so, of course, so we will consider these independently. Item 11A, recommend ordinance number 2011-33, allowing a special use in the I-1 Light Industrial District to allow a restaurant at 321 Stevens Street for Chef James Place.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion. Piper makes the second. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 11B is to recommend resolution number 2011-56, approving site plan for Living Well Cancer Resource Center at the southwest corner of Williamsburg Avenue and West State Street.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by D'Antino, seconded by Flanagan. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, a roll call, please.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 11C, recommend ordinance number 2011-34, approving text amendment in the B3 Business District to allow business and professional offices as a special use for below ground, floor only, fronting 3rd Street between Campbell and South.
Overruled.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Vogelsberg. Questions or comments regarding item 11C? Seeing none, hearing none, Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 11D is to recommend resolution number 2011-57, authorizing the execution of the First Amendment to Commuter Parking Improvement Grant Agreement with Metra for the 3rd level of the commuter parking facility.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the second. Correction, Marks makes the motion. Piper makes the second. Sorry about that.
Point of order.
Yes, Mr. Singer?
Did you read the order as being Fifth Amendment?
First. I may have not articulated, so I'm not Kurt Wurmeister. I failed to articulate that. It is the First Amendment. We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
John Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 11E, recommend resolution number 2011-58, authorizing professional services agreement with Walker Parking Consultants for design and construction for the 3rd level of the commuter parking facility.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion. Piper makes the second. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. According to my agenda, we are down to item 13, new business. Anyone from the audience, any new business tonight for the edification of the council or anything at all? Mr. McQueeny, our treasurer, is with us tonight.
Hey.
How's life at Nightcore World?
Peachtree Street?
That's what I heard. Are you a Braves fan yet? Anyone from the dais? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mentioned to Mr. Dinges, the head of Public Works, that I'd had a number of calls from people mentioning to me ash trees that they noticed that were clearly very dead. And I asked Mr. Dinges whether it was necessary to report to him every report I've had of a dead tree or ones that I've seen driving around my neighborhood. And Mr. Dinges pointed out that the city does that. They are going around and carefully. We cannot this year clearly replace all the dead trees that are out there. We doubled the number of trees we're going to work on this year, but we're not going to get to all of them. But Mr. Dinges did point out that if anyone sees a tree that looks like it's a danger, that looks like there may be some branches about to break or there's a branch already broken that's hung up in the over branches and anything that's a danger, then please report it to the city or the alderman or whoever, and the city will try to get around and fix that. But it's certainly true that we're not going to get to all the dead trees this year. It's unfortunate. We just do not have the money or the manpower or the time or anything else to attack all of them. And the city does have careful records. Thank you for your concern. We appreciate the fact that people are concerned. But please, if you see anything that really does look dangerous, get back to us, and we'll do our best to get to it right away. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman.
Move to adjourn.
Motion by Mr. Patience, Alderman Piper, to adjourn. Is there a second? Second by Dantino. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Microphones are off.